A new leader takes the reins at Yuma Proving Ground, an update on a new school coming to San Luis, and we hear from two candidates running for the city of Yuma. I'm Alexandra Rangel, and you're listening to KAWC's Arizona Edition. Yuma Proving Ground's new leader is bringing his years of experience to YPG.
What we do here is extremely important, and I found that the workforce here is all in.
Yuma City Council candidates are making their case to voters.
Why are you doing this? That's not you. You're not a politician. You know, when I said, you know, somebody has to start somewhere. Somebody has to be the answer, the voice of reason.
Plus, we hear what voters want from Yuma's next leaders. And our Education Solutions reporter brings us the latest on a new school planned for San Luis. These stories coming up on Arizona Edition. This is Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. Yuma Proving Ground is one of the region's largest employers, with over 2,500 employees. Now, YPG has a new leader at the helm. Reporter Victor Calderon has more from the change of command ceremony.
The United States Army Yuma Proving Ground is under a new leader following a recent change of command ceremony. Colonel Charles Seabury assumed command at YPG on June 11th.
Any chance you get to take command is always an honor and a privilege. Command is not guaranteed, so right now the main feeling I have is just excitement. Ready to get started, ready to do what, you know, the mission calls for me to do.
Colonel Seabury previously served as director of DEVCOM Forward Element Atlantic. There, he led international science and technology cooperation, interoperability initiatives, and research integration across Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. In this role, he served as the Army's science and technology lead to NATO. Colonel Seabury takes over command of YPG from Colonel John Nelson. Seabury said he's looking forward to working with YPG staff.
Well, I had the opportunity to come visit YPG back in February, and I'll tell you, beforehand, I knew nothing about YPG, and that's probably one of the first things that I like to do in terms of making an impact across the enterprise is put YPG, or Army Test and Evaluation Command, on the map. What we do here is extremely important, and I found that the workforce here is all in. Everybody's bought in. Most of the folks that have been on this installation have been here 20, 30 plus years, and so that excitement kind of transferred to me and it became contagious. And so I'm really excited to kind of collaborate with everybody here.
Colonel Seabury said one of the biggest priorities he'll have is to stay in line with the current administration. He said he's thankful to the YPG and greater Yuma community.
Yeah, so if I was talking to the community, I'd look straight in their eyes and tell them thank you for welcoming me and my family with open arms. We look forward to the couple of years that we're going to have here. I tell all the workforce this, and I tell the community this. As the commander, I work for you, and I'm looking forward to working with all of our industry partners, our servant leaders within the community, as well as the soldiers and civilians that are on this installation. If they allow me to work for them, I think that we can do some big things.
Colonel Nelson is being assigned as senior commander for the White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. He has a message for the YPG and Yuma communities.
Thank you for all your support for the last 3 years, your hard work, and delivering capability to our warfighters.
For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon.
Plans for a new school in San Luis are moving forward, but families will have to wait longer than expected for it to open. Our Education Solutions reporter, Cisco Stargazer, explains what's behind the delay and what's next for the project.
Thursday morning, June 18th, was supposed to be a momentous occasion for Harvest Preparatory Academy's new San Luis campus. It was delivery day for the project's first structural materials. Harvest invited media to the future campus site at 20th Avenue in San Fernando Street. But when we arrived, the lot was empty. It turns out Harvest was still waiting on a permit so they could begin turning dirt and grading the construction site, so delivery was moved to the current campus, where structural steel beams were being unloaded.
The dirt will be moving pretty soon now. We're expecting our permits today. for the grading and all of the groundwork. And so what's happening today is that the metal buildings are being delivered here at our current site to make room for the grading at our construction site. And yeah, we're excited. It's going to be 2 acres in our new site. We're going to have a football field, soccer field. Our first phase is going to have 3 buildings, preschool, elementary, middle school, so all the way up to 8th grade.
That was Evelyn Mejia, Executive Assistant to Harvest Executive Director. It was roughly 8:30 when she explained Harvest was expecting to receive its permits that day. At 4 p.m., we reached out to Executive Director Debbie Ibarra for an update. Ibarra attributed the delay to the contractor not yet having a San Luis business license. But the school broke ground more than a year ago. So what happened? Well, let's take a step back. In summer 2023, Harvest announced plans for a new San Luis campus with a tentative 2024 to 2025 start date. In May 2025, Harvest held a groundbreaking ceremony, noting that the campus will accommodate 2,500 K-12 students and open for the 2026 to 2027 school year. The latest update from Harvest was that they've been tied up in pre-construction and permitting work, but they're expecting to open in January 2027. That January opening, however, will not be for the full K-12 campus Harvest originally announced. School officials now describe it as the first phase of the project, serving students from transitional kindergarten through 8th grade. Ibarra said Harvest is still considering a high school, but that part of the plan is less certain.
High schools are expensive, and so you have to have the right number of students. So as we build, and it'll be perfect because we're having record numbers in the 8th grade in the campuses. So we're ripe to do that.
At a public meeting in May, project manager David Garrison shared a few of the hurdles they've had to clear.
First off, it takes months and months just to get the soils reports and the geology and is there a spotted lizard running across the property? And that's not a joke. There's a lot of reports that have to be done just to let us build. The other thing we got hit with is down at the intersection at E right by the hospital, they weren't going to issue us a permit until we agreed to pay a portion of a traffic light.
$143,000.
Which is $143,000, and they claim that we're 53% of the traffic.
The new campus has a $30 million price tag, which Harvest is paying for with its general funds and construction loans from the bank. Right now, the campus on 10th and Cesar Chavez accommodates about 600 students, but when the first phase of the new campus is complete, it should serve 1,200 students. After the second phase, the total number should climb up to 2,500. This is meant to track with San Luis's growth. Ibarra told KAWC they chose to pursue a new campus to provide more opportunities for the city's rising population.
It's really growing out here. Comité Bienestar, Rydell Construction, and there are big things that are going on out here. Lots of homes, especially right around where we're building. And they're slatted for, I want to say it was 1500 east of Avenue E, are slatted out there. So it's a growing area.
For people connected to Harvest, Thursday's delivery was meaningful because the campus has been years in the making. Although complicated by pending permits, it marked the first visible step forward. And that was special for folks like Gerardo Juarez. Juarez, a contractor overseeing Harvest San Luis facilities, has worked there for 8 years. His investment in the school is personal. He began as a volunteer and saw both of his children attend Harvest.
Bueno, para mí es un privilegio ver todo esto que estoy mirando que va a suceder aquí en Harvest. Ya tengo 8 años trabajando aquí y me da gusto que ya vamos a empezar la nueva escuela. Todo el mundo está esperando por eso, igualmente yo también.
Juarez told KAWC he felt privileged to see the first steel beams. Everyone has been waiting for this, he said. In a request for comment, Ibarra said, quote, it should be resolved by Monday, end quote. But for now, those beams are still at Harvest's current campus, not the empty lot where the new school is supposed to rise. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation.
Yuma City Council incumbent Carol Smith is seeking a second term. With public safety remaining one of her top priorities, Civic engagement reporter Carmen Marquez sat down with Smith to discuss her campaign and what she hopes to accomplish if reelected.
Only six women have ever sat on Yuma City Council. One of them is seeking a second term, Carol Smith, 46, neonatal intensive care nurse, mother of two, and a familiar face at Cafecito. We met her there to talk about why she's running again. We begin with a rapid fire.
Which fictional superhero would you be?
Wonder Woman.
Okay, and why?
Well, the bling, of course, but just to continue to take care of my community in the best way I can.
Carol says that approach, informed, hands-on, practical, guides her work on the council.
And I answer every email. I will set up meetings if people want to talk to me. If people want to meet me at Cafecito and have a conversation, I'm available, you know, and there's a lot of stuff I don't know. So I'm always open to listening because I certainly don't have all the answers.
Especially as Yuma faces new debates about economic development, including proposals for AI data centers.
We can either say no, right, as a whole. We can say, here are the restrictions that must be in place to keep this community safe, but also have those conversations with our neighbors, right? Because we may say no, and right across the city line, one opens up.
Carol's connection to Yuma is lifelong. Born in Phoenix, she was brought to Yuma on her second day of life. She attended Ronald Reagan Elementary in Gila Vista while her father taught in the district for decades.
Being that my dad was a teacher and my mom worked in child nutrition for District 1 for my whole life, and we used to go to Marcus Pool, my siblings and I, and we would do the summer swim programs. And then we'd get out of there and we'd go over to Main Cafeteria next to 4th Avenue Junior High, and we would have the free summer lunch, and then my dad would take us to the library after that. We utilize so many resources and services in our community that I'm still so happy to see happening here. But I used to see election signs in Lutz Casino. And I seriously mean this. When I was a little kid, I'm like, what is that? And my dad used to tell me all the time, you deserve to be at a table where decisions are being made. And I believed him.
Serving in office has definitely changed everyday life for Carol.
It's been tough. You know, I think it's hard to have any sort of privacy as an elected official, right? There's different expectations.
Looking ahead to a second term, Carol emphasizes finishing ongoing projects, public safety, and affordable housing.
I still think there's a lot of public safety that we can address, the growth of them. We are, which is fantastic to see. We're headed in the right direction. So I would like to continue that work. I'd like to continue that advocacy. Housing, you know, affordable housing is an issue everywhere in this country. Luckily, Yuma is on the right path there too. So I think I can still continue to bring like a working family voice up there where I have a really good of an understanding of what affects people every single day.
And if you didn't know this, Cafecito serves a drink named after her.
One thing people would be surprised to know about you.
I have my own drink at Cafecito called the Carol. It is a double shot of espresso, a little bit of agave, and a splash of milk, extra ice in a short cup.
And one more question. If you were to pick a song for your campaign, which one would it be?
American Girl, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Can you sing a little bit?
Oh, gosh. She was an American girl.
Carol Smith's campaign is rooted in accessibility and local experience. A nurse and mother translating those perspectives into city policy. For KAWC News, Carmen Marquez.
Coming up, Carmen Marquez sits down with Ron Van Wy, who is also vying for a seat on the Yuma City Council.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
Welcome back to Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. Political newcomer Ron Van Wy, a proud tribal member and family man, is throwing his hat into the ring for Yuma City Council. He tells reporter Carmen Marquez why he's running and the changes he hopes to bring to Yuma.
Walk me through like where we are at and why this place is important to you.
I raise cattle as a hobby. This is my daily getaway from life, if you will. I get to come over here, and these animals depend on me to live because they obviously can't feed themselves. And so I get to come over here and just enjoy myself and find my sanctuary.
If you had to ban one annoying thing in the city, what would it be?
Probably the noise. Loud music in the neighborhoods is one thing that's really, really bothers me and many people as well.
Who is Ron Van Wy?
I'm a proud member of the Tohono O'odham Nation. I'm an Indian, dedicated to my family. I have one daughter that's actually a doctor of physical therapy here in Yuma. She owns her own practice. My youngest daughter is in her last year of a Juris Doctor program at Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law for ASU. I was born in a small mining town in Ajo, Arizona. Mm-hmm. We moved here when I was 7 years old. And my whole life has been law enforcement. And so, I spent 20 years as a federal agent with the United States Customs Service, K-9 Division. And from there, I was transferred to the U.S. Army. So I run part of the proving grounds. I'm the safety director right now. And I also an educator. And my whole life has just been serving the community.
Ron shared with us a story about his first time asking for a job. And for some of you, this local business might sound familiar.
I remember being 8 years old, and I walked into Jim's Harley Davidson off of Avenue B and 20th Street, and I walked in and I asked for a job at 8 years old, and Jim looked at me and laughed. And I said, I'm serious. I want a job. And he said, you can't. You're too young. And I said, well, I'm going to come in every day until you give me a job.
That persistence, he says, has never left him. And it's also the foundation for what he sees as an edge in this campaign.
I believe one of my biggest advantages is the fact of my knowledge in deep knowledge in education, construction, law enforcement, but my leadership skills. The Army and the United States Customs Service has sent me to a lot of leadership training, and that's what helped me accelerate through my career.
Ron firmly believes in the value of democracy, insisting his decisions will always be level-headed.
I believe in making my decisions based off the information. For instance, the spaceport. I'm still up in limbo on that because I have not gotten the information I need to make an informed decision. So and data centers, the same thing. If we get data centers here, it might be coming through a pipeline of natural gas. So instead of electricity, natural gas might be resourcing those. So a lot of things, there's a lot of things that are out there, a lot of variables that we don't have the answers to. I don't have the answers to.
One of the last questions, what are you gonna do to make sure you stay connected to community?
My OCD is so strong that if I get an email, that's why I had to take my phone off and put it away, because I'd be answering it right now. Because I believe that if somebody takes the time to email you, call you, text you, you should give them respect back to at least reply.
A lot of people think that once a politician, a leader gets in the circle, they forget about people, they change, right? How are you gonna stay true to your values?
A lot of people that know me, it's like, why are you doing this? That's not you. This, you're not a politician. You know, and I said, you know, somebody has to start somewhere. Somebody has to be the answer, the voice of reason. I believe in the values and the morals and the integrity that I've been raised up on, and I will do the best of my abilities to stay to who I am, and that's important to me.
Above all, Ron frames his campaign around values, integrity, steady judgment, and being a voice of reason. I'm Carmen Marquez for KAWC News.
Now we've heard from the candidates, and it's time to hear from the voters. KWC student reporters Sahe Barcenas and Chloe Michael attended the recent candidate forum in Yuma. They share what residents want to see from Yuma's next city leaders.
For KAWC reporting from Yuma, I'm Sahe Barcenas.
And I'm Chloe Michael. With the upcoming elections drawing closer, local residents are looking for answers on everything, from economic growth to the safety of our neighborhoods.
We attended the Yuma City Council Candidate Forum on June 4th, where we had the opportunity to engage with the voters themselves.
We received different responses regarding this upcoming election, but beneath the political platforms, a common theme emerged, the future of Yuma's families, the voices of our young voters, and how to keep them safe.
Jeremiah, one of the youngest voters at the forum, explained why he attended the event.
I'm here because I want to educate myself on who to vote for in this coming election. I'm 19. Yuma, it's a big election, as we know. There's many candidates. Many people are tired about, you know, current issues within the city council. So I'm just here to educate myself in. And they have good answers regarding, you know, the spaceport, regarding what we need for Yuma. I think the job market's real important for people our age, and affordable housing as well.
Six candidates took the stage at the forum. The council candidates Carol Smith, Henry Valenzuela, Ron Banguay, and Derek Egbert, along with Mayor Duke Nichols and challenger Carlos Adams.
That event allowed local residents to share their main concerns regarding the community. Luz Rios, a local mother, shared some insight on what inspired her to show up.
Being a mom in the city, I'm really invested in my child's future and education. So when they're talking about workforce development and what they're trying to bring to Yuma to develop new leaders and new projects got me excited. And I understand that we might have to foot a little bit of the bill, but to be able to see my child thrive in the city that we live in is important for me. So again, it's things that you don't know are happening, but to be able to learn, hey, this is what the college is doing. Hey, these are the opportunities available. I think it's a game changer.
A recent Northern Arizona University graduate and young voter, Connor Legros, came to the forum to see how the candidates plan to keep young adults in Yuma, as well as gaining new residents.
The education, there's not any way to get a full college degree for certain programs here in Yuma still. And just the job opportunities, you can get the degree, but if you don't have the job, then you can't stay. So I just want to see what the candidates say about what are they going to do on the panel in order to kind of encourage not only the education, but the jobs to stay and come here to kind of bring back not just young people, but other people from around the country.
We also asked voters about what younger generations need to do today. Nicole Culpepper, a local resident, mentioned her perspective.
I love Yuma. I'm happy to live here, and I'm happy with everyone that is really, truly running our city. I know we have a lot of different points of view, so I think just listening to each other and trying to consider the best of what everyone's trying to say, because most people are coming from a good point in somewhere, even if we disagree. This is for you. This is for every citizen that lives here. So make sure that you're listening, that you're bringing your ideas, that you're bringing your thoughts, and just really being prepared to understand other points of views and kind of take the good and the bad and mix it together and make the best.
The forum also brought out longtime community members. Mary Lou Huff, a senior voter, shared her perspective of the role of young people in these elections.
Every vote counts. People my age, elderly, parents with high school children, grade school children, they need to tell them what's going on, but they will be our saviors. So let's learn to see how they're going to do that. Maybe we can help. I raised six kids. You have to give them power.
The Yuma City Council Candidate Forum gave residents a direct look at the choices available for the upcoming election.
It showed that voters of all generations are ready to make their voices heard for the future of Yuma. For KAWC reporting from Yuma, I'm Sahei Barcenas.
And I'm Chloe Michael.
Arizona Edition is a production of KWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to az@kwc.org. You can also connect with KWC on Facebook and Instagram. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. I'm Alexandra Rangel. This is KWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.